exhibit Infinite Uncertainty in the Opalka Gallery at the Sage College in Albany, showcases artists at work in a changing world. New projects initiated, old ones revisited, creative bursts and detours in practice. Selected from over 250 submissions, 33 regional artists attempt to make sense of this unprecedented time and its persistent, frightening, and painful unknowns. To find out more about the exhibit, which runs through October 11th, we welcome one of the jurors, Julie Torres. We also welcome Opalka director, Judy Gilmore. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Very nice to have you both with us. Let us begin with you, Judy, of how this particular idea came about.
Sure. Well, you know, our fall started to look a lot different as a couple of traveling shows moved around, and we had this hole in our schedule, and we just thought, what is an important thing to look at right now? And we were really interested in how artists were responding to this moment, and artists in our region specifically. And so we put out a call, and we had over 250 artists send in submissions to want to be in the show. I think it was a prolific time for artists, a lot of time in their studio, you know, not a lot of distractions, and a lot to say about what was going on. So we had a wonderful jury that came together and selected 33 artists to showcase the kind of work that's happening at this time.
When you put out the call, yeah, and I mentioned you got over 250 submissions. So, Julie, what was it like for you and your fellow jurors to go through this and try to find some commonality and to fill out an entire exhibition?
It was tricky. There was so much different. There were so many different types of work, so many different types of artists, and of course, all four of us coming from different perspectives. But we took it very seriously, and so did Judy, and of course, Amy Griffin also from Opalka. And we had three Zoom phone calls or video calls that were about 3 hours each, I believe. So that's 9 hours of Zoom calls discussing each and every submission, which is a process I've never engaged in before. You know, Ellen and I are used to jurying on our own and going through each submission on our own and with our own criteria. So it was really illuminating to do that with, let's see, that's Judy, Amy, and two other jurors, Stacey Robinson and Sharon Bates. So that's six people total, you know, with their own eye, with their own perspective, and with their own ideas about what the show should be.
What ultimately were you looking for, which is another way of asking, what exactly did you want the show to be?
Well, speaking as a juror, Ellen Letcher and myself, we run Lab Space Gallery in Hillsdale. This show was different from other shows that we have put together in that it addressed so many current, relevant, real-world concerns. We wanted artists who were thinking about different things and making work that was addressing concerns differently from each other in a way to create a fuller conversation throughout the work and in ways that we don't usually think necessarily when we're putting a show together, when we're normally accessing or thinking about the work in a more aesthetic way. There was so much more to this, reading all the statements, looking at everybody's background. Where does everybody live? What is their education? What is their experience? What brought them to this place? Why are they making work? How are they making work? There was just so much more to consider. I don't know if Judy feels the same way.
Yeah, Judy, did you feel the same
way?
Yeah,
very, very, very similarly. I mean, yes, I did. I think we were quite interested in not just one, you know, artist responding to, you know, the pandemic or, you know, creating pictures of what the virus looks like, but really how many different ways that artists did react to what was going on. I mean, you had a whole group of artists who did direct have direct responses to the world. And, you know, it was very much in their work. But you had other artists who really dove into their practices as a way to just escape it all and to find, you know, stress relief and solace. We also had a whole group of artists who were just limited in what kind of supplies that they had access to during quarantine. And so all of a sudden they were teaching themselves to knit, like Deborah Zlotsky, and making whole new bodies of work. And we found that those moments where there was a bit of innovation or where artists were really troubleshooting in a way that artists do so well were really interesting to us, as well as just the, how personal the work felt for everyone across the board. Felt that there, you know, they weren't making work for just themselves. It was making work to get through this time or to really communicate something very specific. And all artists do that, but right now it felt even deeper, a deeper dive into that. And so we really did love to see all the different responses. And as the show came together, we really wanted to not have just a tight curatorial control over it, but really let it be a snapshot of how different artists related to this time and how many different issues are at play right now in the world. So the work does really cover a wide span of kind of issues, ways of dealing with it, different mediums. And like Julie said, you know, we really felt like we got to know these artists and what they were trying to say through their submissions.
Given the concept of the whole thing, it seems to me, Julie, that it is, it's art on deadline, right? Which is different than it would be normally.
Well, I mean, the title itself is an indicator that, yes, I suppose there was a deadline to submit, but in a way, it's sort of an endless purgatory that we've all been in, not knowing what the end of this, you know, when the end of this will be, both socially, politically, and obviously with the coronavirus. So, I mean, there were works that were submitted that weren't even finished. And, you know, normally I wouldn't take those works seriously if someone submitted an unfinished work for an exhibition. But in this case, you know, there was something about that was intriguing because this was sort of this extended, strange limbo that we're all in and dealing with. So, okay, you're still working on this, still thinking about it. You don't know quite what it is. Great. That's interesting, you know? So I don't know. I mean, yes, there was a deadline in a sense to get the show together, but these artists are still making this work, still thinking about it and still developing it. And I think this is going to continue on for some time, and especially if we're hitting a second wave of this virus.
Absolutely. But the question being is the work was created as a result of this call. It's what they were working on at the time, and it's not as though it was a work that they had been doing for a while. It's something that came as a result of this particular time, correct?
Well, we did have a few submissions and a couple that were included in the show of artists who did submit older work that has been completely recontextualized in this moment. Judith Braun is an incredible illustrator and artist. She had these beautiful drawings that she's been doing for years that she just calls symmetry, and they're circle shapes with funny little crowns and beads coming off of them, and you cannot look at them and not think of the coronavirus. And so we, you know, she wrote how strange it is that this work she's been doing for years as almost a meditation and drawing has become so hyper-contextualized in this virus world we live in. Another artist, Pierre Desir, has painted a lot of paintings about a poet, John Kaufman, who was kind of knowingly harassed by the police in California. And, you know, his experience all of a sudden has this new context. So we were really interested in that, too. I think most artists read the call and did submit new work and work that was, you know, kind of newer in this time. But I think a lot of artists saw their older work in this new light as well. And we did capture some of that as well.
Is this idea of, you know, where we are and what we're doing, and I mean, we're all going through this of trying to make sense of this, and it's very difficult to do. But let us put it into the artistic context, and I guess, Judy, this is mostly directed to you of What does it mean for being a gallery director now and running a gallery in this time and just the weirdness of it all of not really being able to do anything like you used to be able to do it?
I mean, weirdness for sure. I mean, we are one of the only academic galleries in the region that's even open to the public right now. And it was very important for us to do that. So we fought, for that with the college, which agreed if we did it safely, we could do that. So we were happy to be able to, because I do think that right now, more than any time, people need an escape. And I think we can offer a safe escape. But in terms of our programming, we try to really stay on top of making the work relevant and understanding what type of things are interesting artists and always kind of looking to be, one step ahead. It was a no-brainer for us to look at artists and to really ask them how this moment was affecting them and their work. And as a curator with my curator's hat on, it's a really exciting time in the art world. I think that people are starting to see the value of art and artists in a new way. I think artists are incredibly prolific right now and have found kind of new inspiration. I think at the same time, some artists are having a hard time getting things done and working and concentrating. And so being, understanding that as well, I have a couple shows coming up in the spring, and I think the artists really had to take a break and, deal with personal things and things like that. So, navigating all of that is part of what we're doing, and I think we're trying to do it with a lot of compassion, both for our audiences and for the artists whose work we show. Our ultimate mission is to introduce the public to work by artists from our region as well as around the nation, and to do so with, compassion and understanding, to really let artists speak for themselves about kind of their role in the world right now. And I think it's an important role in this moment, as is always, but especially now when we're all looking to each other for, lots of escape, for direction, for coping mechanisms and all of that. And all of that is captured in this show.
The exhibit Infinite Uncertainty runs through October 10th in the Opalka Gallery at the Sage College in Albany. You can find out more by going to opalka.sage.edu. Julie Torres and Judy Gilmore, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks to both of you. You're listening to The Roundtable.